In your Bibles tonight, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, and we'll be looking at verses 7 through 10 this evening. 2 Chronicles 16, verses 7 through 10. And our message tonight is concerning a lesson from King Asa. I trust that the truths we see will be a blessing to us and will help us in our Christian journey. I'm glad that we don't have to travel this journey alone. Jesus is there. He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. And if we will seek Him, He will lead us all the way. Amen. If we are open to His direction, to His voice, to His guidance, our Lord will lead us. And we'll be amazed at how sweet the journey will be and how much God will use us before He calls us home. 2 Chronicles 16, verse number 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? And yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, He delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing, and Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. Some very sad words as Asa nears the end of his life. His ending was not quite like some great events that took place prior to that. I'll share some of those with you tonight. But right now, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we bow in Your presence and admit and acknowledge that we are nothing. Lord, You are King over all the earth. You're a great King. You're King of kings and Lord of lords. And tonight, what a blessed privilege it is to walk with the King and to know that You will never leave us or forsake us as we seek Your face and follow Thee. Please, Lord, help us tonight to see how important it is to keep our eyes upon Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text tonight leads us to speak upon some historical matters, and for this I do not apologize. It has been said that those who do not remember their history are destined to repeat it. And we're seeing some of that in America today, as seemingly we have forgotten some of the things that have made America strong and some of the mistakes leaders have made in the past in failing to honor the Lord and seek His face in matters of national and worldwide security and wisdom that it takes to make right decisions and to lead our people aright. There may be on occasion some foolish professor who may speak disparagingly of the historical part of Scripture, but Remember that the historical books were almost the only scripture possessed by the early saints, and from those they learned the mind of God. David sang of the blessedness of the man who delighted in the law of the Lord, yet he had only the first five books, and perhaps Joshua, Judges, Ruth, all the books of history in which to meditate day and night. The psalmist spoke lovingly of these books, which were the only statutes and testimonies of the Lord to him, with perhaps the addition of the book of Job. But if rightly viewed, the histories of the Old Testament are full of instruction to you and me. They supply us both with warnings and with examples in the realm of practical morals, and hidden within their letters like pearls in oyster shells, like grand spiritual truths couched in allegory and metaphor. We may say of the least of all books what our Lord said of little children: take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. To take away from Holy Writ involves a curse upon that daring deed, and may we never incur that penalty. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof. And so let us see what is ours to profit from this event in the life of King Asa. First of all, let's look at who he was and what he had done in better days. By this we shall understand better the fault into which he fell. In 2 Chronicles 15, verse 17, the Bible says that the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Now, this is a great thing to have said of anyone. It is the greatest commendation to be pronounced upon mortal man when the heart of man is right with God. Wouldn't you like that to have that said about you, that the heart, your heart, was perfect all your days? The intentions, the innermost feelings, the affections were right. The man may be reckoned a good man before the Lord if his heart is right. Asa is noticeable in the early part of his life in that he set up the worship of the Lord and carried it out with great diligence. He did this even though his mother, his own mother, was an idolater, and his father Abijah was little better. And though his parents were idol worshipers, Asa determined even in his first days of his reign to follow the Lord. He had an earnest desire to glorify Jehovah and to lead his people away from all idols to the worship of the true God. Now, a life may begin well and yet be clouded before it ends. Someone says that very, very, very few people, very few great men even, end well. I'd like to think that all of us here tonight could end our journey on a high note, that we could all end well in the sight of God and in the sight of men. Some of you have already paid a great price in trying to stay true to God, to try to follow your conscience and not deviate from that life that was begun years ago in a determined, close walk with God, and desiring never to waver, never to fall behind, never to change your position with dedication and devotion to the Lord. King Asa is an example set before us to warn us that we must guard against temptation as long as we are in this human body, as long as we are here in this wilderness of sin. There's going to be the possibility of failure, the possibility of yielding to temptation, the possibility of taking our eyes off God and just doing things our way. In the middle of his reign, Asa had been put to the test by a very serious trial. He was attacked by the Ethiopians, and they came against him in mighty swarms. What a host to be arrayed against poor little Judah. An army of 1,000,000 footmen and 300 chariots, we are told. And Asa's army was only 580,000, only about half the number that they were facing. But Asa believed God. And therefore, when he had mustered his army, he committed the battle to the Lord his God. You'll find that in 2 Chronicles 14, 11 through 14. How grandly he threw all of his burden upon the Lord. He declared that he rested in the Most High and believed that God could as well achieve the victory by a few and feeble folk as by a vast army. After his prayer, he marched to the battle with holy confidence and faith, and God gave him the victory. The power of Ethiopia was broken, and Judah's army returned with the spoils of war. You would not have thought that the man who performed that grand action would become, a little time after, full of unbelief. But the greatest faith of yesterday will not give us confidence today unless we abide in our God. Even after his great victory, Asa did not, as some do, grow proud of it, but he set to work in obedience to a prophetic warning to purge his country by a thorough reformation, and people fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that God was with him. Chapter 15, verse 9. He even removed his queen mother. Now that takes some doing, doesn't it? To remove your mother from her position as queen because of her idol worship. And he took her idol, and not merely did he break it, but he stamped it and burned it with every sign of contempt at the brook Kidron, into which ran the sewage of the temple. In no uncertain terms, he let the people know that whether in high places or in low, there should be nothing left in all the land to provoke the Lord. And this he did well. Oh, that it might be done in this land, in America tonight. I wonder what would happen in America if our leaders would suddenly have a mind to get rid of all the things in America and to stop all the sin in America that is provoking our God. Asa was a king who stood for reform. And he went about it with a brave and courageous heart. You would not have thought that a man who was so brave, so thorough, a man who would depose his own mother as an idolater, would come to a later trial and run to an idolater and cringe before him and beg for his help. Asa, who did great things in the beginning of his reign for God and with God, later became fearful and foolish and brought upon his nation the judgment of Almighty God. It seems he started out right. He was sincere. He was genuine. He was a gracious believer. He could pray and get in touch with God. I mean, his prayers literally moved God's hand. God's intervened. But notice the grave error into which Asa fell. Here was the cause of the prophet's rebuke. Listen carefully. He was threatened by Baasha, king of the divided kingdom of Israel. Actually, this was a civil war that was about to take place. You know, you had the divided kingdom. You had the kingdom of Judah, and you had the kingdom of Israel. And Baasha was the king of Israel. And he was not directly engaged in combat, but Baasha began to build a fortress which would command the passages between the two kingdoms. This would prevent the people of Israel from going to Judah or make their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Now, you would have thought from Asa's former conduct that he would have thought very little of Baasha, or else he would have taken the case before God as he did in the matter of the Ethiopians. But this was a smaller trouble, and Asa thought he could handle the problem on his own, and we have no record of him inquiring of God or even seeking help from the Almighty. In the former trial, no amount of help from outsiders would have been sufficient. But now this is a different story, and he thinks that Ben-Hadad, the heathen king of Syria, might be able to help him. In the great trial with the Ethiopians, Asa had faith. In the little trial with Baasha of Israel, Asa had no faith. And he began to look around for another path of victory. For the great trial, Asa prayed and sought the Lord. For the little trial, Asa decided he didn't need to pray, and he could handle this by himself. Did you know you're going to get into trouble every time you do that? God wants to lead us all the way, as Brother Todd has sang. God wants us to daily be in prayer and seeking his face. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. And if Asa had prayed to God and asked him what to do about this situation, I'm sure God would have given him the answer. But he didn't pray. Didn't ask God for advice or direction. And he just took matters in his own hand. And look who he went to ask for help. The king of Syria. Here was a worshiper of a false god with whom he ought not to have had a connection or alliance whatever. And what was worse, he induced Ben-Hadad to break his league with Baasha by gifts of silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house there in Jerusalem. Here was King Asa bribing a heathen king to be untrue to an ally. Here, as it were, was a man of God becoming an instructor of Satan, enticing a heathen to be false to his promise and treaty with another king, the king of Israel. It kind of reminds you of the things that are practiced today under the name of foreign policy, doesn't it? They make treaties and bind themselves with solemn pledges. But they make light of these covenants when it really comes down to the wire. It seems the goal of ambassadors today is to see who can entangle the other. A statesman said one time, an ambassador is a person who is sent abroad to lie for the good of the country. If you can believe that. Asa no doubt thought all was fair in war, but as a child of God, he ought to have scorned anything that was dishonorable and untrue. As to saying to a heathen king, break your league with Baasha and make a league with me. Why, if he had been in the right state of heart, he would sooner have lost his tongue than to utter those disgraceful words. But doing one wrong thing led to doing another wrong thing. When our walk is with the Lord, it is a straight walk. It is a focused walk. Matthew 6:33 tells us what? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if we will keep our focus on doing that, God has promised that he's going to supply all of your need, whatever it might be. Food, clothing, shelter, protection, peace. A lot of things that's on the menu there that God can supply if you'll just walk with him. It is a safe, a holy, and honorable walk. But when Asa degenerates to walking as the world walks, when he begins to crawl and twist and follow the path of the serpent, dust is the serpent's meat, and before long, if you follow in his trail, if you get down on his low level, you'll be eating dust too. Some of you may now be entering in upon a testing time. There's trouble in the family. There's a trial in business. There's difficulty in making a decision. And you're asking, what course should I take? And when you start asking that question, the world is very quick to give you their response. You know what a man of the world would do. You know what a woman of the world would do. And you'll find it being suggested that you go that way. But my dear brother, my dear sister tonight, remember that you are not of this world. And God expects you to act accordingly. If you are a worldly person and do as a worldly person, God will not, God cannot bless you. But if you are a Christian, you will not do a wrong thing just because others are doing it. Let others do what they will, but you, you're God's child. You set the Lord always before you. You let integrity and righteousness preserve you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Ask God to help you. Is it not written that he will, with the temptation, make a way of escape? Is it not written, call upon me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The psalmist said, I once was young, I'm now old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You don't have to compromise with sin. You may go along with the crowd. You may do what the world wants you to do. And before you realize it, you can do in 5 minutes what you cannot undo in a lifetime. You may bring yourself to a lifelong series of trials and troubles and heartache and heartbreak by one single sinful act. Do not, like Asa, turn from your confidence in God in the trying hour. Shall the well-beloved of my soul only be trusted in fair weather? Shall I have such a sorry opinion of him that when the first little storm comes, I run to someone else and ask him to be my refuge? Are we bent upon grieving the Holy Spirit? Are we set upon seeking friendship and help and companionship from unbelievers? Must we run upon this rock when we can see the wrecks of others all around us? I'm compelled to add that Asa had to bear the blame for the consequences of his conduct. When the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, came up and attacked Israel, you see, he did not content himself with just a battle or two, but he fell to plundering them by the wholesale. And great sorrows were brought upon the children of Israel. And who was to blame? But the king of Judah, Asa, who had hired the Syrians for just that purpose. He who ought to be the brother to the Israelites became their destroyer. And every time the cruel sword of the Syrians slew the women and the children of Israel, the poor afflicted people had nobody but Asa to thank for it. Bible says the beginning of sin is like the letting out of waters. None can foresee the devastation the floods may cause. Brethren, we can never tell what may be the consequences of one wrong action. A single fire may be kindled in the forest just to warm our hands or to cook a little meal. But the sparks spread. And before you know it, thousands of acres are destroyed, along with dozens of homes and many lives lost. It all started by just one little fire, just one little spark. Oh, how we need to zealously keep away from every doubtful deed, lest we bring evil consequences upon our children and others as well as ourselves. Let us stay ourselves upon God. That's our main concern. No doubt Asa had no idea that the conflagration that he asked for would sweep over the largest, as large an area as it swept, and would be so hard to contain later. 1 John 3:6, the Bible says, "Whosoever abideth in Christ sinneth not." He does not continue in sin. Christ was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. That means he was manifested to put a stop to the works of Satan in our lives, to put an end to Satan's reign and Satan's influence. Satan tonight may make your decision look profitable for you initially. Jonah wanted to flee from God. His instructions were clear. But he went down to Tarshish, found a ship that would take him away from the path God had prescribed for him. Did you know something? If you don't want to do God's will, Satan will always provide a way out. But I'm sure that down in the belly of that whale, Jonah realized that was not a very profitable idea he had, to leave the presence of the Lord and do things his own way. Finally, did you see in Scripture what God did with Asa? If you'll read verses 11 through 14, you'll see something about his death. He became diseased in his feet. The Bible says that disease was exceedingly great. No doubt he was suffering night and day. He was tormented. As a king, no doubt they brought him embroidered slippers. But that did not ease the pain. These diseased feet should have driven Asa to repentance, but no. You see, instead of crying to God, he sent for the physicians. Now, it's not wrong to send for physicians, but it's wrong to send for physicians in place of crying to God. What you ought to do is cry out to God and then ask God's leadership and go in to see a physician. Amen. But Asa put human agency before God and, as far as we can tell, did not seek the Lord. Seems as though Asa actually became angry with God. He imprisoned his prophet and oppressed others. It's very probable that the physicians he sought were the Syrian heathen conjurers and necromancers and the pretenders at magical arts. It was so that his unbelief deprived him of the cure that could have come from remaining true to God. Verse 12, yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Physicians of no value, their medicines were a delusion. And how often it is when man persists in looking away from God, he who has God has all, but he who has all but God really has nothing at all. Asa's life after that was a life of war, a life of pain, a life of suffering. His evening was clouded, and his sun set in a storm. With such a warning as this of Asa before us tonight, let us not relax our watchfulness and insensibly turn aside. The path of the just is as the shining light, which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk as he walked. Christ is your model. That is the promise which Scripture sets before you. Look to Christ. Plead Christ. Let him lead you all the way. Let us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Let us walk uprightly before the Lord. That is the needful part for you and me. The life of faith is a blessed life. A believer's course is a tried one, a warfare, but all the sorrows of faith put together do not equal in bitterness one drop of the sorrow of sin or one grain of the misery of unbelief. The king's highway may be straight and it may be narrow. It may get a little rough at times, but I promise you Bypass Meadow is the rougher of the two in the long run. Oh, how we need to cleave to the Lord in simple faith. Even if the path leads through flood and flame, our Lord is still in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found out when they got in the fire, the Lord was already there. And he was there to deliver them. Our hearts are frail and feeble. And because of that, the song says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. But oh, how we need to ask God tonight to wrap his bands of love about us and to bind us fast to himself. May the Holy Ghost keep us humble, keep us at the foot of the cross, realizing we are weak, but he is strong. Realizing that we are naked, and only he can clothe us with righteousness. Realizing that we are nothing, but he is all and in all. And praying that he will come and glorify his power by forgiving us and using us and keeping us strong and faithful to the end. If there's any among us tonight who have never received this Savior, if you don't have a Savior to love, I say tonight, if you'll seek him, he will be found of you. His word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pardon and salvation belong to every soul that hangs its hope on the cross. Amen. Asa turned away from God and trusted an arm of flesh and failed. Others have turned away from God, trusting alcohol, drugs, tranquilizers, trying to find life in a bottle or on the street or in a bar or in an immoral relationship. But all of these will eventually fail, and you must still stand before God. Oh, how we need to receive Him as Lord and Savior tonight and give Him that first place in our lives. Let us learn from King Asa, who started out so well but ended up so wrong. Let's go all the way with God. Church, we've gone too far to turn back now. Many of us tonight are in our sunset years of life. We don't have many left. We need to make them count. We need to finish the race, being true to Christ, honoring our God with everything in us and about us. I trust tonight we've learned some things from Asa that will help us. Don't give up. Don't turn aside. Don't turn to the world for advice or for help. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Seek His face. He will not disappoint you. He will not let you down. Let us pray. Father, thank You for Your mercy and grace tonight. Thank You for giving us this history lesson and showing us, Lord, how that You will honor faith and You will honor that life that is lived for You. But Lord, we also see what happens when men turn aside and turn to the world and give up their faith and begin to live a different life. Oh God, help us here at Fellowship to be true until You call us home. I pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Shall we?